Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Clock Mirage, Our Myth of Measured Time, by Joseph Mazur. Narrated by Keith Sellenwright. Once, before time, in a place beyond space, nothing ever happened. You may think nothing happened because there was no time, and it takes time for things to happen, and you may be right. Then again, perhaps there was no time because nothing changed, and there was no way to mark any moment as different to the one before it, or after it, as time is used to do. So it could just be that there was no time because there was no reason for time. Everyone likes to be wanted. Tasneem Zahra Hussain. Preface. Now, at an age when time is increasingly precious, I wonder why the minute hands of my life seem to move so fast that I sense gaps in place of stolen intervals of my own awareness. So, here is a book about time, looking at its many folds, its history, its personal impact, the ways it is perceived, its connections to memory and destiny, its slowness and its speed. A glimpse at what time really is. You would expect a book on time to come from the physicist, the philosopher, the chronologist, or the clockmaker. I'm neither a chronologist nor a clockmaker, neither philosopher nor experimental psychologist. I am, however, a mathematician and science journalist, embedded with the troops of real scientists and scholars who productively guide their careers through laboratory experiments examining the depths of knowledge, in particular on the question of time, which, at its root, is partly mathematical, partly conceptual, and significantly imaginary. Time is the most frequently used noun in the English language. Yet it is a word that eludes almost every attempt at giving it adequate meaning. If it's a thing, it is a stubborn one. Dictionaries have never been able to peg it. They struggle to give it universal clarity. Their best descriptions give time as a point or period when something occurs, or the thing that is measured as seconds, minutes, hours, days, years, etc., or what clocks measure. My 2,662-page Merriam-Webster tries to pin the definition down with a 1,756-word entry. Tries. It seems that time is a human invention that measures the lines of our existence. We are born with almost no real sense of it. We have clocks, calls to prayer, appointments to keep, places to be, deadlines to meet, expectations, times to eat, and times to sleep. However, since time is neither an event nor an entity that can be perceived, as Immanuel Kant and so many other philosophers have noted, the notion of time itself slips through every attempt to corral it. Philosophers and natural scientists have been theorizing about time for more than 2,000 years. Psychologists have been experimenting with the sense of time for not much more than 100 years. But it is the public that actually uses and understands time with a reasonable working sense of what it is. Time is often personal. Going with the job, the vacation, the triumphs and failures, the solitudes and friendships, self-reflections, illness and fitness, expectations and delays. For the farmer, it is the long spread between planting and harvest. For the racer, it is the split second before the finish. So I gathered the public's intelligent impressions of time from many of the best-informed sources, clockmakers, long-haul truckers, astronauts living on the International Space Station, Olympic racers who won races by less than 1/100 of a second, intercontinental pilots who regularly cross multiple time zones, prisoners who spent months in solitary confinement, jockeys, factory workers in China fitting little screws into iPhones on an assembly line, and hedge fund traders who make suitcases of money by the second. My interviews concentrated on the experience of sensing time's passing while leaving open any questions that had peripheral entanglements with boredom. The results were surprising and diverse in many ways. The public thinks of time differently than physicists and philosophers, who have been justly swayed by the dictates of mathematics. It is as if there are two parallel homonyms that are coincidentally spelled alike, one signifying a public notion, the other a scientific conception. Connected at their roots, they have common threads tied to a clear, unified concept centering on a sketchy idea that time is nothing more than an invented organizing tool enabling civilizations to function with order while empowering science to explore the universe with consistency. The public impression is that time goes on in the background of life, as a kind of ticking clock independent of one's birth, an imaginary clock continuing forever, marking particular dates along in the memory of the universe. Some folks feel that the man-made clocks that surround us in digital readouts on smartphones tell us absolute time. The predecessor of the iPhone was the 20th-century mass-produced battery watch, and before that there was the wind-up watch. With relatively cheap and available watches, time then became the common social regulator. One ate, not when hungry, but rather when the clock called for mealtime. One slept, not when tired, but rather when the clock permitted bedtime. Abstract time became the new medium of existence. Organic functions themselves were regulated by it to make us feel time fly when we are filled with happy and interesting experiences, and linger when our experiences are dull. When lots of things happen within some time span, the memories give an extended, telescoped impression of duration. On the other hand, think of those monotonous times we've all spent in waiting rooms of doctors' offices with nothing worthwhile to read. Talk to any one of the more than 2,000 prisoners who have been exonerated since 1989 for crimes they did not do. Talk to them about their memories of incarceration, about their illusions of time's passing. Then talk to the prison guards and wardens about their sense of time. They get to go home at the end of their work days. They too spend their days in those prisons, yet they have different notions of time. Such diverse public impressions make the word elusive. Time is the most ubiquitous topic that has ever entered the literature of the world. Its meaning is endless. In one peculiar sense, we are all writing about time. No wealth of books can possibly exhaust the subject. We can't get enough of it. This book follows the more than 200,000 published essays and books that have expressed views on the meaning of time since Aristotle's Physics. It will not be the last. The Clock Mirage is not specifically about time travel, the age of the universe, parallel universes, the fourth dimension, any particular time topics of physics, or how to fix a clock. Rather, it is a book that tries to answer the question of what time is by the broadest meaning. But time is a tricky concept, built from a combination of concrete examples coming from culture, education, environmental experiences, and innate senses of its passing. Where will we find a thread of time's passing without a clock to help? No wonder the concept is so ungraspable. There is nothing quite like it beyond the iconic, representational, vaporous picture of some kind of clock in the mind. Perhaps the Mad Hatter in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland had it right when he personified time, believing it to be a him, not an it. "If you knew time as well as I do," said the Hatter, "you wouldn't talk about wasting it. It's him." Why not a him? In Hesiod's Theogony, the ancient Greek mythic cosmology explaining the creation of the world, time was deified as Kronos, or Cronus. And haven't we all heard of Father Time, the old bearded man who carries a scythe and hourglass? These chapters will take you on a curious tour of time through the eyes and mind of a person who looks at the world as being simple, while knowing that it is actually more complex than can be quickly understood. It covers the story of time, whether he, she, or it, to tackle an answer to the question of what time really is.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?